Good morning, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Chairman.
Yeah, you're right this time.
Alec, just a quick one to open up with. Have we written off the ABC Learning unsecured subordinated reset convertible notes to zero?
They're provided for at that level, yes.
We've written them off to zero. Okay. Now, this is clearly the biggest debacle in the history of the Commonwealth Bank. In June last year, we underwrote a $600 million issue of these convertible notes, which are unsecured, which rank behind unsecured creditors. And we took $445 million of them. So we wrote out a cheque for $445 million in a $600 million unsecured note raising. That was announced in June 2007. I've got a stock exchange announcement here from ABC Learning, which talks about the recruitment of Mr. John Waugh, who was head of institutional banking at the Commonwealth Bank. Now, ABC Learning recruited him 2 months after that happened. So 2 months after we've written out a cheque for $445 million, the head of institutional banking at the Commonwealth Bank in Queensland was recruited to be the group financial controller at ABC Learning. Now, I understand in the last few days you've fired all 10 people who were working on the ABC Learning account. And I just guess the question is, this is clearly the biggest debacle in the history of our bank. You've also got a $240 million exposure as well, which is one of the biggest just regular banks. So the loss, the exposure was $700 million, $445 is already gone. We could drop another couple of hundred, could be pushing $600 or $650 million. No other bank that I'm aware of has ever lost that much in Australia on a single account. The biggest loss in Tricontinental was $200 million on Christopher Skates. So how on earth did this happen, that we took such a massive unsecured exposure and then we had this deal where our banker in charge of this heads across to ABC Learning 2 months later?
Like you, Mr. Main, I'm not happy with the outcome. Obviously, the situation is one that we would all prefer had not happened. I have to say, at the time that we made that decision, it was based on the information that was provided to us by the company. And unfortunately, that information has obviously not been seen to be as accurate as we had relied upon. And I think that there's obviously been a lot of issues in and around ABC and its accounting, as we've seen in recent times, in regard to the length of time it has taken, or did take, to restate their accounts. In regard to the person that you mentioned who joined ABC as financial controller, he had no connection or involvement with those notes. And so therefore that was handled out of our Sydney office. It was not handled out of our office in Queensland. And he left us and had left us for some 2 months before he was appointed there, and certainly it was a situation where the role that he had been undertaking was restructured and he was left the organisation as a result of being made redundant prior to his joining ABC. There's no connection that I'm aware of between him and the transaction that you refer to specifically at ABC.
Mr. Main?
Chairman, just appreciate the candour in the earlier comments on ABC Learning, that the banker involved was retrenched, that it came out of the Sydney office. But just to clarify on Ralph's last comment about the security, clearly there's no chance of getting the $450 million. I mean, that's unsecured. We rank behind the local florist or news agent. So I'm presuming that must be the biggest loss in the bank's history. Are you aware of another account where we've just lost, without doubt, $450 million to start with?
I think the issue here is that certainly the notes are at this point valueless, and certainly there's no, they have no ranking of any significance, so you are absolutely right there. In regard to the history of loans or whatever, I've been chief executive for 3 years, and there's no doubt that in my 3 years as chief executive, this is the largest write-off that we've had. And as I said earlier, Mr. Main, it's something that aggrieves me, and certainly I'm not happy about it, and certainly the board's not happy about it, and my senior management team are not happy about it, and certainly I have concerns, as I said earlier, about the information that was provided to us in order for us to have actually actioned that particular provision or accommodation to ABC. So I'll leave it at that at this point.
I must admit I'm a bit nervous about the other $240 million because I went to the AGM of IMF last week in Sydney, they're the litigation funder, and they said that the charge by the banks was only taken in June this year, and they used a phrase to say it was still green, i.e. it's got to be there for 6 months before a company collapses. So they're challenging it in court. So we dropped the 450, there's another 240 on the line, we've only at 5 minutes to midnight whacked the charge on. 500 of the centres are actually sitting in the Australian Education Trust, so we don't actually have much security over the centres. So it's a pretty scary situation. We could be dropping another 100, 150. The two other points I wanted to raise were, there's a piece in The Australian by John Jury on May the 8th saying that that Centro had won a last-minute reprieve from its banks after a last-minute intervention by Sir Rod Eddington, who was chairman of JP Morgan Australia. And it talks about there were late-night talks between Sir Rod and CBA boss Ralph Norris. Now, as someone who's, I own 750 stocks, tiny holdings, so I'm in everything that moves in the market. So I'm in all the Centro stocks. Now, in a situation like Centro, the Commonwealth Bank is the largest shareholder. So the Commonwealth Bank sits there with, what, 7 or 8% in both Centro Retail and Centro Properties Group. You've smoked $600 million on behalf of your funds management clients in Centro. Now, what I don't understand is when Sir Rod Eddington rings you late at night to talk about rolling over $1 billion exposure that we have to Centro, 160 million of which is unsecured, how can you even take the call when you also know that the Commonwealth Bank, on behalf of millions of Australian superannuants, have dropped $500 million on the equity side? So when you take that call, are you speaking as a banker trying to recover $1.1 billion, or are you speaking as the ultimate man in charge of a funds management operation that desperately wants a rollover, that wants to salvage something from the wreck in the case of your funds management clients, of $600 million? So how do you deal with the supposed Chinese wall when you're the CEO of the whole show and you're getting these calls from other bankers late at night?
Well, Mr. Main, yes, I did take a call from Sir Rod Eddington, and I have to say that my definition of late night and John Jury's probably is significantly different, because I took that call at 5:25 p.m. And so therefore I generally find that as being fairly early in my day. But the reason I took that phone call was, yes, there were issues around documentation. It had nothing to do specifically with whether or not we should actually be involved in a process. The process was that we were putting in place a memorandum of understanding. And Sir Rod was concerned that we had not signed it. And the reason that we had not signed it was that there were 15 material errors in that 200-page memorandum of understanding. And my people were insisting, and I was obviously supporting them, that we would not sign that particular memorandum until those 15 errors had been corrected. I don't understand how a number of other banks had not come to the same conclusion that the documentation was flawed. So that was the reason why the discussion took place. And we certainly made sure that those 15 errors were corrected before we actually signed the document. So it was an issue over a document. The other matter in regard to our Colonial First State operations, I do not get involved in the picking of stocks or the managing of those particular funds. They are appropriately managed by the management team and under appropriate trust deeds and with appropriate trustees. So that is a situation where obviously there is a significant Chinese wall from the point of view of my involvement.
In fact, that wall is a lot more than a Chinese wall. It's a very real one.
Just one last issue, Chairman. Look, thank you for your very candid comments I never thought I'd hear a banker talk about the time a call was received and the number of errors in a 200-page document. So they've been terrifically fulsome answers. I think people should remember that the Singapore government also put $400 million into ABC Learning at the time we took our biggest exposure. So clearly it wasn't just the Commonwealth Bank on its own going in there. But my actual issue, my last issue is a different one. It relates to the way ComSec operates. And I have to admit I've got a bit of an interest here. I've got the phone off for fear of getting one of your margin calls coming through from ComSec. You don't lend against almost half of the shares in my portfolio. I've bought shares in the top 750 companies, and you won't lend against pretty good companies like APA Group, a solid pipeline company. Yet when it comes to your own perpetual exchangeable repurchasable listed shares, of which there's about $3.4 billion worth outstanding, these are Commonwealth Bank notes that convert in 2012, you're prepared to lend 90%. So you'll lend 90% against your own stock. You won't lend 90% against anyone else's stock. And I would have thought there's a problem with being a bank lending to people who then lend it back to the bank at 90%. So in an environment where everyone's hurting, everyone's getting margin called, can I just ask that you actually lend against a few more stocks, even if it's only 20 or 30%, but your clients are hurting? You've got 58% of the margin lending business in the country, and you've given no latitude at all in terms of lending against companies. And I'd ask you to be more generous, not quite as generous as you are with your own perpetual notes at 90%, but could you just, you know, think about your clients and actually give them some relief as you're making hundreds of margin calls against them every day?
Mr. Main, the first comment I'd make is that the processes and practices we've had around margin lending have stood us in very good stead in this very difficult time. David, or Ralph, would you like to make any further comment?
Well, I think the point you make is a very valid one, John. We have taken a very conservative view on margin lending, and as a result of that, our margin lending business has done very well, and we have not had anywhere near the levels of write-offs that other margin lenders have had who have lent on a wide range of stocks. We take a view that we will only loan against a certain number of stocks, which are stocks that have high levels of liquidity and also are highly rated stocks. So I make no apologies for the fact that we have a limited number of stocks that we are prepared to margin lend against. And I think there's no doubt that the conservatism and that approach has stood you, the shareholder, in very good stead.